Christianity has always had a clear, very specific issue with racism. We know that Scripture clearly teaches, especially after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was filled, and that place was Israel or Jerusalem was filled with people from all different nations and different races, and the gospel goes forward. The Holy Spirit is poured out. There is no question about it. Christianity is about no favoritism, no place for racism in Christianity. Colossians 3, verse 11. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So race, let's talk about that. A race is a human population that is believed to be distinct in some way from other humans based on real or imagined physical differences. Racial classifications are rooted in the idea of biological classification of humans according to morphological features such as skin color or facial characteristics. An individual is usually externally classified into a racial group rather than the individual choosing where they belong as part of their identity. Conceptions of race as well as specific racial groupings are often controversial due to their impact on society, social identity, and how those identities influence someone's position in social hierarchy. Ethnicity. Ethnicity, while related to race, refers not to physical characteristics, but social traits that are shared by a human population. Some of the social traits often used for ethnic classification include nationality, tribe, religious faith, shared language, shared culture, shared traditions. Once upon a time, natural scientists defined race. This is one of the lower moments, I believe, in the modernistic social or sociological days. And here's something, too, that I don't think sociology totally takes responsibility for this. Today, they're so quickly to utilize some of the theories of the past to support secular thinking. But the fact is natural scientists defined race. In the 19th century, a number of natural scientists wrote on race. George Culver, James Cullis, Pitcairn, Louis Agassiz, Charles Picking, Joanne Friedrich, Blumenbach. These scientists made three claims about race. Races are objective, naturally occurring divisions of humanity. There is a strong relationship between biological races and other human phenomena such as social behavior and culture, and by extension, the relative material success of cultures. Race is therefore a valid scientific category that can be used to explain and predict individuals and group behavior. And this connects directly now to social construction. Debate continues in and among academic disciplines as to how race should be understood. Some sociologists and biologists believe race is a social construct, meaning it does not have a basis in the natural world, but is simply an artificial distinction created by humans. As a result of this understanding, some researchers have turned from conceptualizing and analyzing human variation by race to doing so in terms of populations, dismissing racial classifications altogether. In the face of the increasing rejection of race as a valid classification scheme, many social scientists have replaced the word race with the word ethnicity to refer to self-identifying groups based upon shared religion, nationality, or culture. Personally, I believe this is a great development because in Christ, there is no Greek or Jew, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free. And every human being is an image bearer of God. And, you know, I grew up in America where race has, you know, been an issue. I have friends from South Africa where apartheid has been an issue. In every place that I've traveled, there is specific internal issues like the Tutsis and the Hutus. And, you know, it seems to me like to classify someone in a race and then judgmentally characterize that race as less or more is an area that Christianity doesn't go. Now, some people will say that Christians have been racist. That's true. In fact, there are Christian racists today. But the Bible, its view of the world, the meta-narrative that we've been talking about in the sociology class, is that God created man and woman, and that God created us as image bearers, that this world is populated, all connected to our first parents, though fallen. We are still God's children. And in Christ Jesus, through the redemption that has come by Christ and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, you know, and you know, in the Old Testament, you know, there was the Jewish people or the Jewish race, and there is all sorts of like differentiations. And if you look at that, even the Old Testament and the theologians, you know, Dr. Fettes in his class and doing Old Testament survey, it's very clear that all of history was going to a place where it is whether neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, Christ is all and in all. So, you know, as we hear, you know, like, you know, when I hear things like, well, it's social construction, well, in some ways that is a much better place. At the very essence, even in social construction, can miss out on the fact that you know, there are wonderful differences that are explained by history and all of that. And we certainly want to, you know, take away this concept that what color of your skin is means anything in God's eyes or as we love our neighbor. You know, I've heard it said, you know, like, you know, there should be no intermarrying of races. Why not? If someone's in the Lord, there is no reason if they love one another, you know, they are unified in Christ, you know, there is nothing that will hold that back. What we want to stay away from is prejudice. Prejudice is, as the name implies, the prejudging of something. Prejudice involves coming to a judgment on a subject before learning where the preponderance of evidence actually lies. Alternatively, prejudice can refer to the formation of a judgment without direct or actual experience. Prejudice generally refers to negative views of individuals or groups of individuals based on social stereotypes. So when I grew up, we noticed many people that had prejudice against people of other races or other colors. And I would say that I saw that within communities of myself. And I even have seen that within myself. Not because I went out of the way. I mean, my parents loved the Lord, and I grew up, you know, not feeling that we were prejudiced. But in time, I've learned that there were a lot of structural prejudices inside of me, you know, that were just there. And over time, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to me, each person is who they are as an image bearer of God, period. And any prejudice are things that we should just say that is not part of the Christian world and life view. At its most extreme, prejudicial attitudes advocate denying groups benefits and rights without warrant and based solely on the unfounded view of the individual. It should be kept in mind that prejudice is a belief and may not translate into discrimination. You know, and I think that's a really good point. I think I have met people who had prejudice, and even Christians, but I've never seen them act on them and deny opportunity for anybody, even though they were maybe raised in a home that was very prejudicial. When it came right down to it, they acted in love, even if they were uncomfortable or they said the wrong thing. And what they said was even perceived to me as that's prejudice. It's not politically correct. It still did not translate into discrimination, which is the actual mistreatment of a group or individual based on some criteria or characteristic. Although prejudice can lead to discrimination, and the two are separate concepts. Let's talk about racism. Racism can refer to any or all the following beliefs and behaviors. Race is the primary determinant of human capacities, prejudice, or bias. A certain race is inherently superior or inferior to others. Individuals should be treated differently according to their actual racial classification. The actual treating of individuals differently based on their racial classification. Here again, this racism where people are judged merely by their skin color or the race they belong to is not something that honors God. There is such a thing as cultural racism, cultural radical discrimination. A variation of structural racism occurs when the assumption of inferiority of one or more races is built into the culture of a society. In this perspective, racism is an expression of culture and is passed down through the transmission of culture, that's socialization. An interesting twist on this type of prejudice can be seen in how high-achieving secondary school students are treated. African-American and Native American students with high GPAs are rejected by their peers, while Asian-Americans and white students with high GPAs experience greater social acceptance. This suggests that different racial and ethnic groups are rewarded for academic achievement while others are punished, potentially leading to members of those groups to pursue academic success while others are discouraged from doing so. I do believe there is structural racism in the world. I believe that there is elitism. You know, this is not really talked about today, but I believe in the education system there is elitism. If you have money, you can go to better schools or you can go to school at all. 92% of the world does not have access to higher education. And there is a very, like people who are PhDs in sociology work in these systems. They are part of the systems. They do not do much to ask themselves, how do we change it that everyone has equal opportunity to education? I'm telling you right now, with all my heart, why we have a generosity-driven concept of education is because we want anyone who has the desire and the calling to get the education, the best possible quality education that fits cultures everywhere, local mentors and all that, so that anyone, no matter who they are, can study. In the current system, it is a few that get high quality training. But at Christian Leaders Institute, you are here. And I don't know your situation, but there is going to be no discrimination as much as we can possibly do based upon race, based upon ethnicity, based upon economics and the rank of society, that all of this is for everybody. You know, my feeling is that when you start creating a world where one group of strong starts judging another group who's not as strong, you create a very dangerous place. And the world has been a place filled with things like genocide. While not exclusively the result of racial or ethnic tensions, genocide, the attempt to completely destroy a group of people based on the characteristics they share by another group of people who do not share that characteristic, is often the result of racism. One technique that is often used by individuals engaged in genocide and even war is radical epithets that dehumanize the enemy, making it easier to kill them. Again, these are all these things that the Christian meta-narrative sees clearly, that when the fall of sin is so incredible that what starts happening is those who are stronger lord it over those who are weak. So minorities form. Racism is usually directed against a minority population but may also be directed against a majority population. The definition of minority group can vary depending on the specific context, but generally refers to either a subgroup that does not form either a majority or a plurality of the total population, or a group that, while not necessarily a numerical minority, is disadvantaged or otherwise has less power, whether politically or economic, than the dominant group. A majority is the segment of the population that outnumbers all others combined, and or one that is dominant. So again, we see just the result of the fall, how things like this occur, and we see how things like racism and stuff like that, based upon these superficial demographic designations, create a context of judgment and difficulty. Official government positions. Radical discrimination is and has often been official government policies in many countries. In the 1970s, Uganda expelled tens of thousands of ethnic Indians. Until 2003, Malaysia enforced discriminating policies limiting access to university education for ethnic Chinese and Indian students who are citizens by birth of Malaysia. Today, many other policies explicitly favoring Bumiputras, these are Malays, remain in force. Russia launched anti-Semitic programs against the Jews in 1905 and after. During the 1930s and 40s, attempts were made to prevent Jews from immigrating to the Middle East. Following the creation of Israel, land ownership in many Israeli towns were limited to Jews, and many Muslim countries expelled Jewish residents and continue to refuse entry to Jew. In this class, I'm going to do a study of the sociology of Adolf Hitler, and here is another example of someone who used sociological terms to make a case for racism. You know, as I think about racism, I think it's important that we study it and that you develop a sensitivity. At the same time, let's not become polarized over the issue. Let's not make that the cause of our life. Let's make the cause of our life the gospel. Let's make the cause of our life loving our neighbor as ourselves. Let's make, you know, in the kingdom of God, there is no racism. But I'm concerned when you have, like, groups that get together and groups that get so focused on this one issue of trying to bring social change that what really happens is a polarization of society in general. It's a utopian understanding that in this world, we're going to create the perfect world. But the fact is that perfect place is heaven and the kingdom of God. And that's ushering into this world. But it's by us living out our faith and sharing our faith and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So these are all very important issues, and they're important for your understanding of sociology. And if you become one who travels the world, all these issues are important, and you need to be sensitive and have sensitivities to these issues in order to truly express the love of Jesus Christ.